Hello, I'm Kevin Barcinas, and welcome back to Men Don't Cry. These are the tattoos of a male-dominated world, a show where inklings of masculinity are skin deep. So today we have a very special guest, Charles Chun. Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Wait, do you prefer Charles or Charlie?
Either one, honestly. More intimate people, I ask them to call me Charles, so you can call me Charles.
Okay, noted. So listen, Charles... I wanted to thank you for taking a short break from work to be here. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you do for work?
So I'm a professional dog trainer, and so I train dogs to basically listen to their owners, and I break the communication barrier between them.
You're like the unsung hero for dog lovers who can't seem to get their dogs to sit.
Yeah.
So would you say you're a dog person then?
Oh, definitely.
Now, do you believe... in the saying that dogs are a man's best friend?
I believe they're everyone's best friend.
Okay, cool. I know that by man it refers to humans, because of your job working with so many people, do you encounter more male, female, or perhaps even non-binary dog owners?
It's pretty much even, but definitely working with males, I have to kind of change my dynamic with them a little bit more than with the females.
Plain and simple. I like it. This is going to be a silly question, but can you tell if a dog is a boy or a girl just by seeing one walk down the street?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
Well, they have more, for lack of a better word, masculine features. And so the males have broader heads and broader bodies. Females are pretty much more slender.
So you can tell just by their physicality?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy. Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Thousand Oaks, so just up the hill.
But where are you really from?
My ancestors, I'm Hawaiian.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I've been a couple times, yeah.
That's crazy. That's like a honeymoon. I know it's like cheesy, but that's a honeymoon goal for me. So I like to ask every guest on the show a simple question that may or may not determine how the rest of the show goes. No pressure, so... what does masculinity mean to you?
I think it really comes down to, you know, what does the person feel about themselves? And masculinity is kind of being portrayed as somebody who, I don't know, wants to... I don't know, that's a really hard question. I'm trying to think as I'm talking, but...
Take your time.
Yeah, I think it's just... For me, masculinity is being able to respect people and show someone if you're masculine, it means that you're able to take upon yourself any responsibility and just be able to work through it.
And where do you think it stems from? Like, where do we absorb these ideas? Do you think they're self-taught, or we grow up with like idols that we may follow?
Well, I mean, if you really want to get nerdy Anglo-Saxon, I guess, but no, for me it just stemmed from watching how hard my mother had to work as a single parent, and
right there with you.
Yeah, exactly. So having to watch, you know, a woman kind of take both roles of the father and the mother, it really teaches you, you know, what role do you want to play in your future family.
So would you say that your mother also has a masculine side to her?
Oh, absolutely. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I think all our mothers have that side to it. And would you say you're a masculine person?
I'm told I am. I don't think I am.
Personally, I think I could take a few lessons from you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Maybe after the show. Do you think masculinity is linked to sex, gender, or maybe it's a social construct?
Definitely a social construct. I don't think gender has anything to do with whether somebody's masculine or not, or if it matters.
Okay, valid answer. Now, as you are a friend of a friend's, we've met before. And honestly, my first impression was, that is a cute dude. But unfortunately, you're taken, so I know my boundaries. But I wanted to ask, with your permission, some personal questions. Is that all right?
Yeah, of course.
Are you comfortable sharing your gender identity?
Yeah, well, I always tell people if they're ever going to ask questions, definitely come to me first, not anybody else.
Okay.
Because I don't get offended very easily. So I identify as a transgender male.
Okay. And can you do a quick breakdown of what the prefixes cis and trans mean in regards to gender identity for the viewers who might not know.
So do you want me to explain, like, what it means to be a transgender male?
Yeah, go ahead with that definition first for yourself.
So transgender male, I was born biologically female, but basically in my head and in my feelings and all my emotions, I feel like I am male. And so I've been going through some processes. I take testosterone, and I also had top surgery. So I do not have breasts anymore.
I know. They look nice, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And what does cisgendered mean for the viewers who don't know?
Cisgender, actually, I'm not 100%, but doesn't that mean that you're just very certain about what your gender is?
Yeah. Okay. So I think it means, like, you conform to what your assigned sex is.
Okay. Yeah.
Are there any misconceptions about trans people that you'd like to dispel?
There's a lot. Just because you're transgender, like, I identify as transgender male, that doesn't mean I would have to like girls. There can be transgenders who like boys, transgenders who like, you know, non-binary. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have nothing to do with your sexual orientation.
So gender identity and sexual orientation aren't correlated, as people like to think.
No, they're not.
Okay. Do you mind sharing, like, your story?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's story is different, but I always knew that I did not like being a girl. I remember at a very young age having crushes on my female friends and definitely kicking people's butts in sports.
And, nice catch there.
I remembered. But, you know, just always having guys as friends and always kind of liking girls. And growing up in a religious family, I was actually kind of sheltered. I didn't know, even until I think I was in high school, what gay and lesbian actually meant. And I didn't know what transgender was until I was 18.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you already had these, like, feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. You know what's funny about me? I actually, like, I've known about my sexuality since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason I didn't tell anybody was because nobody asked. Like, they'd be like, do you like that girl? And I'd just be like, no. They never were like, what about that guy? And I would be like, well, that's another topic we can talk about.
Yeah.
It just never came up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when would you say, like, you began to live as this new identity that you know you were born to be?
Well, in public, I started doing it when I was 18, when I actually figured out that I didn't want to be in the religion that I was born into. But I actually kind of had when I was 16, I had a secret drawer of my boy clothes, and I would hide it underneath all of my girl clothes. And when nobody was home, I would actually put on those clothes and just walk around the house in my boy clothes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even have boy clothes. I want to see what those look like.
Yeah.
And then how old were you when you started thinking about, like, surgery to continue everything else in that path?
I think it was shortly after I discovered what transgender meant, and I felt like I really felt I fit that description. I think it was just a couple weeks after I started researching, because I was really uncomfortable with my body. Ever since puberty hit, I was really unhappy.
That dang puberty. And how would you describe the feeling when you finally found, like, something that resonated with you?
That's really hard to explain, because I don't think I've ever felt anything like it, just actually being able to feel comfortable in my own skin. I don't think I've ever really felt that feeling before. And so it was just nice to be able to step outside my door and look how I wanted to look and be able to, you know, feel how I wanted to feel.
That's awesome. Shoot, I wish I could have that freedom as well. I mean, I'm starting to. I even dyed my hair because I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Live your own life, right?
Exactly.
So I wanted to ask, what questions do you hate when people ask you?
That's difficult. I hate when people are asking questions probably about another trans person and they continuously use the wrong name and or the wrong pronouns. And so I had somebody describing to me how they were totally fine with transgenders, but they were referring to a transgender male, but they kept calling him a her and calling him by his birth name, not his chosen name. And so it's just really difficult to want to help somebody when they are being so close-minded already.
How do you feel when people ask, like, what your assigned name was?
I don't mind when people ask my assigned name. I really hate that they assume that they can still call me by my birth name.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I still struggle with that a little bit, especially with the town that I grew up in. If I see old friends, they immediately jump back to my birth name, and it makes me cringe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can imagine, because it's like you have this new life, and you're this new person, so, like, that's who you want to be respected as.
Exactly.
And, if you don't mind then sharing, what is your original name?
My birth name is Havila, and so that's Hebrew, and it's pronounced weird. It's pronounced Havila.
Okay, what does it mean?
It means little bird in Hebrew. So,
what is your actual full name, if you don't mind me asking then?
My birth name or what my name is now?
Your, whichever one you feel like sharing, because I know there's a lot of Hawaiian roots to it, mm-hmm. and I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I just said your first and last name.
Okay, so my birth name was Havila Joy Kainalumalie Chun, and I changed it to Charles J. Kainalumalie Chun.
So that's your official, like, driver's license name?
Yep, on my driver's license now, and people hate it because when I never get tickets, cops have to write down the whole name, and it's like four names they have to write down.
Oh, yeah, you never get tickets,
no,
right?
No, never.
How was it difficult for you to get that process to, like, change your driver's license name, or was it just, like, the same as everything else?
It was a little difficult. It was more of just I was dragging my feet because of the process, but once it actually started taking effect, the whole process after I got my name court order changed only took, I think, a month and a half for all my paperwork.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it cathartic for you when, like, you finally had that driver's license to be able to show people?
Yeah, I really liked it because, you know, just going places and when you have to show your driver's license, people look at it and they see the, you know, the F for female, mm-hmm. and they look at me, and I actually had to get my picture retaken on my driver's license just because people thought I used my sister's ID.
Oh, wow.
And I actually just got a haircut.
That's crazy. I used to work retail,
mm-hmm.
and when people would pay with credit card, they made us, like, check their ID, and I hated, because sometimes, like, when I could almost sense that they were hesitant to share their ID. I didn't want to, like, have to ask, but my managers would be standing right there. And I never imagined, like, how it felt on that person's side, like, to have to be hesitant towards it. Like, is it, like, judgment that keeps them or you even from, like, wanting to show it? Or, like, why is there, like, hesitation in, like, in the original ID when you had to show it?
It's more of just the confusion. You know, people think you're hiding something, or they're wondering, you know, why are you showing me this ID? It doesn't, you know, it looks like you, but it says you're something that you obviously don't look like.
Yeah.
And so it's more of just the confusion and the uncomfortable, like, yep, it says female. Yep, just look at it.
Yeah.
It's the picture of me. Don't look at anything else on it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I wish I had taken a better ID picture myself. Maybe I could change my name and then ask them to retake my picture as well, hopefully.
There you go.
But I mentioned earlier that you were Hawaiian, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I know Hawaiian culture is very interesting. They had a queen before, didn't they?
Yes, Queen Liliuokalani.
And how did that work with the whole matriarchal society?
Well, so you're talking about the queen. How did she rule? Or, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it got passed down, but it was unfortunate. Her rule, she was doing okay, but then when America wanted to come and claim Hawaii, she didn't have a lot of options, so she kind of had to...
She was forced out of it, right?
Yeah, she was forced out of the hierarchy.
But I know that the masculine and feminine culture is also very, like, flourishing there. Mm. I saw this video on Facebook about, like, male... hula dancers,
mm-hmm.
and, like, growing up with only like Lilo and Stitch as my background for Hawaii, I thought that only like women did the hula dancing. So can you explain like why, what is that for when men do the hula?
Oh, so the hula, it's a way that they pass down, you know, the traditions and the stories, just like in a lot of cultures, they do the storytelling by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Hawaiians use the dance as a way to pass down the stories of their ancestors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you able to do it?
I was actually in a hula group. My family, we made our own hula group.
Oh, wow.
So I actually know a lot of dances from not only Hawaii, but a couple of the other Polynesian islands.
Is it difficult to learn?
It takes a couple of years just because the fluidity. If you've ever seen hula dancers, they're very fluid with their bodies and their hands. And
yeah. Some people say it's like the original twerking.
Yeah. A little bit more fluid than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I got to take some lessons on that.
Yeah.
So more and more people are sharing their truths in this day and age, with the newer generation especially being inspired by Caitlyn Jenner and actors like Laverne Cox. And for the gay community, Amanda Lepore is mm-hmm. a super iconic artist and model. Did you have any role models growing up?
None really that I think were in the community. I mean, I idolized like Christina Aguilera and Adam Levine. I think the first person that I really respected that became famous was Laverne Cox. It was just how they portrayed her, you know, if anybody's seen Orange is the New Black, so everybody. You know, the struggles that she went through as a trans female in a correctional facility, it kind of really hit home, being like, wow, I've not experienced those exact things, but experienced similar things.
What are some of the like experiences you've had, if you don't mind sharing?
I've had at the airport, they have those full body scanners. And at the time, I did not have my top surgery yet. So I still had to wear sports bras, were my weapon of choice. So
the bullet bra.
Yeah. No padded bras, just the sports bra. So I was identifying as male, but I still had to wear a sports bra. Otherwise, my nipples would be poking out. So I went through the full body scanner.
Mine do too.
I know. I was excited that day. And so going through the body scanner, it showed up that I had a vest type thing on under my shirt. So I had to get patted down, and the male security guard kind of pulled up my sports bra out of my shirt, and he said, "What is this?" And I said, "It's a tank top," because I got really nervous. You know, security, you didn't do anything wrong, and yet you're like, I could have a bomb on me, and I don't know. And so he was, like, looking at me weird, and I was like, it's a sports bra. I identify as male, but I have female body parts, and I'm saying this to a male security guard in...
Oh, wow.
I think I was in... where was I? I don't remember. Michigan. Michigan. And so... Luckily, one of the younger, better trained security guards, she came over and she was like, she asked me, what do you identify as? And I said, I identify as male. And so she had to explain to her colleague that, okay, he identifies as male, so you are the male security guard. You have to pat him down.
Yeah.
And that was really uncomfortable.
Oh, my goodness.
People started staring, and I don't like when people stare at me.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
It's all right. Better me than somebody else, I guess.
Yeah. But that's still a crazy experience. So, like, it's already, like, you're trying to live your life, and you've already decided on this path, and then, like, people have to go on it and, like, question you and almost, like, take you back to, like, those days when you almost were, like, uncertain. Like, their uncertainty brings you back to that, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And just, like... those feelings of insecurity, you know, like trying to portray yourself as male, it's already, you know, uncomfortable. And then just having somebody pull your sports bra in front of hundreds of people in the security line, it definitely made me feel really insecure again.
You could have just told them you were a CIA agent.
Yeah. I don't think that would have gone well.
That's true. They would have been like, first class? Okay.
Yeah.
What about Chaz Bono, the Sonny and Cher's son who was transgender?
I actually haven't heard of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think for me, because I didn't have a lot of like female to male trans icons I grew up with. I didn't really know too many, and mm-hmm. Chaz is really the only one I know. So it was actually Sunny and Cher's daughter, Chastity, and she lived as lesbian until she was like 25 when she realized, like, oh, this isn't me. Mm-hmm. And then she transitioned as Chaz, and it was this whole big thing on like E! News, because like it was mm-hmm. everywhere.
I've heard the name. Like, if you showed me a picture, I think I'd know.
Are there any male about. Trans icons you have then?
There's a couple like famous YouTubers. I can't think of any of their names off the bat, but it's really nice to just watch the YouTube videos and be like, wow, I totally like have gone through that, or I've experienced that. It's just nice to know that you're not alone.
That's good. And do you have any advice for LGBTQ queer folk who may be listening?
Ooh, I have a lot to say. but just, even though things are difficult, especially when you're in middle school and high school, you don't exactly know how things are going to pan out. Just go with how you feel, and nothing, I think, is permanent. So if you end up not being who you think you are in high school, that's totally okay. But just be who you feel right now, and if you keep doing that, then you're always going to be who you want to be every single moment of your life.
That's really beautiful. Thank you, Charles. So for my last question, I think that people really want to know, is it masculine to cry?
Ooh, absolutely. Yes, I am a huge crybaby. I think I cry too much, but...
I don't cry enough. But I want to.
Sometimes, you know, it's a really good relief. And I mean, I think being able to cry means that you're actually in tune with your emotions. You know, if you don't cry enough, that means that you're kind of like holding it in. And I mean, crying too much, that has nothing to do with masculinity. It's more about just how are you feeling that day? Maybe you're feeling really down. But I mean, I think even I've seen big, huge, buff men cry, and it's reassuring. It lets you know that men are allowed to be emotional and in touch with their feelings.
Those are the true men, right?
True men can cry.
Well, that is really well put. Thank you for being on my show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I'm Kevin Barcinas with KPCRadio.com, and don't forget to tune into my friend Rita Begg's show, Ladylike, also on KPCRadio.com. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Charles, once again for being on Men Don't Cry.